The inspired writer said in Psalm 119, verse 104 and 105, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." While the following scripture study cannot be exhaustive, it is designed to provide insights toward a better understanding of God's word, awareness of ways that are false, and encouragement to study more so that we may live rightly in this world and live forever in heaven.
Open in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of Revelation as we discuss the second major part of the book of Revelation. I believe a good, sensible way to divide the 22-chapter book of Revelation is the introduction, chapters 1 through 3, and then the seven-sealed book, chapters 4 through 11. The third outline is chapters 12 through 20, forming the great battle between heaven and hell, God and Satan, right and wrong, truth and error. And then finally, victory for the saints of God, chapters 21 and 22. Now we're in the second section, chapters 4 through 11, the seven-sealed book. It is not possible to understand the book of Revelation unless we get this point in mind. Jesus said to John, "What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches of Asia," Revelation 1:11. Before John's eyes, a vision, a panoramic view, is about to be unveiled. When you read chapter 4, picture yourself in the audience of a great production. The curtain is about to be drawn on the first act. Revelation 4:1 is where you would draw that first curtain. Act as if you're in God's theater. The story is unfolded concerning mankind. This is the way Revelation 4 begins and the way to understand the rest of the book. When the curtain is drawn, what does John see first of all? He sees Jehovah God in splendor upon the throne. A sea separates the people from the throne of God. This is an interesting point to comprehend. The first vision we get, we're getting closer. They're standing on the sea in chapter 15, verse 2. Then in Revelation 21:1, John sees that the sea is no more. So nearer and nearer to the heart of God we come in the book of Revelation. That's one of the themes of this book. No wonder Paul said in Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And then in verse 37, "We're more than conquerors to him that loved us." And finally, verse 39 of Romans 8, "Nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The main theme of the book is we as Christians are more than conquerors. But in chapter 4, do you notice that there's a rainbow around the throne of God? And this reminds us of Genesis 9, where God put a bow in the sky after the flood, assuring Noah that he would never again destroy the world with a flood. And thus we see that rainbow in the sky from time to time that reminds us of the providence of God. It reminds us of the wrath of God in punishing the wicked and the righteousness of God in rewarding those who do His will. So that one image, that one sign, symbolizes all of those things. And John saw a door opened in heaven and God upon the throne. What a marvelous and powerful imagery that is. He also sees the 24 elders singing praises to God around the throne. If we continue to read in the book of Revelation, we can understand that these 24 elders represent the saved of the Old Covenant and those of the New. The 24 standing for the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. One reason we believe that is chapter 15, where we hear them sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb, some delivered through Moses, some through Christ. And also in chapter 1, they're referred to as the apostles and those patriarchs of the Old Testament, the 12 tribes. Those redeemed through obedience to God under the Old Covenant system, and those obedient to Christ under the New Testament. They represent the redeemed of all ages in a general way, and they're around the throne of God, praising God as the Creator. In chapter 5, some sadness enters among all the glory that John sees, for in the hands of the one upon the throne is a book sealed seven times. When you see the word sealed, you know that it is an official document, a very important one. It comes from the God of heaven. The book is bursting forth with important information, for it's even written on the backside. It contains the portents and contents of the wrath of God and also of His love for the redeemed. Here is the sad part. No one in heaven or earth is worthy or able to loose the seals and open the book and tell what is in the record. So John begins to weep. But on the stage is the Lamb of God, chapter 5, verse 5. He alone is worthy and able and ready to open the seal and tell us what is in the book. Christ, then, is the fulfillment of prophecy, Revelation 19:10, Luke 24:44. Before passing on to chapter 6, let us get this important point. Please put these Old Testament passages with Revelation 5. In Daniel 7, verses 13 and 14, the prophet said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one likened to the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And the beauty of Psalm 24, verses 9 and 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. In Revelation 5, at the end of the first century, John says Christ is receiving these things. Premillennial doctrine, thus, is false. All you need to prove it is Daniel 7 and Revelation 5. The Lamb of God was already reigning at the end of the first century. Daniel 7 states he came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And Romans 15:12 just bluntly states that he was raised to reign. Acts 2:30 states that God raised him to sit on David's throne. And I believe that he did what he was raised to do. He is reigning now and will reign until the last enemy, death, is put under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:23-25. And whether the teachers from Brooklyn and the Watchtower Society and says that Christ didn't begin to reign until 1914, or whether he's a member of the Zionist movement that says he is not yet reigning, both doctrines are false in the light of what the Bible says. Christ has been reigning from the first century on. In chapter 6, these seven seals begin to be opened. Six of the seals are opened in chapter 6. The first four indicate peace or conquest of the Roman Empire, then war that loomed on the horizon. The third seal represents famine and pestilence, and the fourth, death. Since these seven congregations were in the Roman Empire, they were being persecuted by the Roman government. Domitian was very cruel as the emperor at this time, if this be written in the year 96, as most think. He was even more cruel than Nero had been. He killed the people of God. He exiled the prophet of God, John, to the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 1:9, for tribulation in the kingdom. These first four seals that John wanted loose so badly spoke of temporary peace, then war, then famine, then death. But then the fifth seal changes gears. It shifts from earth to that which is beneath the throne of God. It shows the ones who have been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, martyrs for the cause of Christ. Now get this point. When John first sees these men, they're under the throne, defeated, dejected. They're crying out, how long will it be until we're delivered and the cause for which we died vindicated? These men are seen underneath the throne. This will help us to answer a question that we're often asked in Revelation 20. What is the first resurrection of Revelation 20? In that chapter, John sees these same men no longer under the throne, but on thrones reigning with Christ, and he says, this is the first resurrection. What is the point? Their cause has been avenged. The gospel has been preached, the devil bound, the gospel obeyed, men living for Christ. Thus, a spiritual resurrection, like Ezekiel 37, the famous valley of dry bones. Our bones are dry and our hope is lost. But then there was a spiritual resurrection. Ephesians 2, which begins by saying, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were without hope, without God in the world. You were unreconciled to God. But now you have been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Thus a spiritual resurrection. They're in the kingdom, the church of the Lord. They're with the resurrected ones. Romans 6:11, dead unto sin, alive unto God. And like the prodigal son of Luke 15, they were dead and now alive. They were lost and now found. And like those who return to God, Romans 11:15, what shall their reception be but life from the dead? And so when those seals are broken and the fifth seal is unloosed, we see that which pertains to eternity. And if we live and die in Christ, even if we're put to death for serving Christ, we're more than conquerors. We're the victors. Up from the grave we will arise to walk the golden strand of glory with the one who defeated the devil and death and destroyed the Hadean realm and broke asunder the bands of death, Acts 2, and Matthew 16:18. Truly, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against the church of the Lord. What was the answer to this fifth seal? The martyrs had cried, how long? They're answered with the sixth seal. God shows that sin shall no longer be unpunished. that it will be impossible for wicked men to get by with their sins. Why? Because he shows in God's final judgment that these too will pay. We reap what we sow, and if we sow the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6, 7, 8. All men who stood against God's cause will want the rocks and mountains to fall on them, and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Revelation 6, 15 to 17. What a wonderful answer for the ones who died for the cause of Christ. Truth will reign triumphantly. Error shall be forever put down. And that's really the gist of the whole book of Revelation. Evil will not predominate eternally. And though we may lose momentary battles, we'll gain the ultimate victory. The saints of God shall never really be overthrown.
The message which you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.